Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Good to have you today. Praise the Lord. Some of you have asked for those little 10 or 15 minute sermonettes that Jeff's been doing. You know, Dave normally does a little talk or something, but Dave's on vacation. He's up in Canada, and I don't know when he'll be home. You know, I never know. But he'll be back sometime in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure. But anyway, these little talks that Jeff does, we've been recording those. If you want one of those, we put those back there. And so if you want those, they're there for you if you want to listen to them again. Because, you know, just like this little sermonette that he gave a while ago, you know, you don't never give up. You know, I mean, if you want to win your battle, you don't never give up. I mean, if you pray one time and that's all you do and you say, and God didn't hear you, then you think, well, you know, it wasn't God's will to heal me or to answer my prayer, my job or whatever. But was it God's will for you to have a job? Yes. So you prayed one time. And here's what we love to do. I had a young man come up here a while back. He said, Pastor, I need you to pray for me a job. I said, okay, how long have you been looking? He said, about 3 or 4 months. And he said, I'm really in a bad need of a job. And I said, well, okay, do you have any faith? And he said, yes. I said, do you believe that when we stand on one of these promises, God's going to give you a job? He said, absolutely. I said, okay, good. I like your faith. So I asked the Father in Jesus' name to give him a job. And I thanked him for it. And he left. And my cell phone rang in just a little while. And he hung around here for a while. And then he left. And he said, Pastor, I've never seen anything like this. He said, I left your church and I just got down here at this little station called Paradise. Now, you know, that's up here at 35. You know where that's at? That little station on the right? He said, I got up there and said, a guy called me and said, can you be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning? And he said, yes, I can. Now, see, that's the way we like for God to answer prayer, isn't it? But he don't always do it like that, does he? No, sometimes he gives us a little time to, like Jeff said, to strain or that muscle. You know, as Jeff and I did talk about that this week, I thought, you know, I'm going to walk in and hand you the keys to a new car. I said, you know, here's you a new car. Now, this car cost me $20,000. I'm going to give it to you, but you're going to have to work for me for 7 years to pay for it. And you're going to have to be here at 7 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 days a week for the next 7 years. And then when you do, the car's yours. But I'm going to give it to you right now. It's yours. But the day you miss a payment, the day you miss not being here at 7 o'clock, I take the car away from you. See, and that's not the way we want to do things. You want me to work, and you want me to give you a car, and you don't have to do nothing for it, right? That's what we all want. But I've come to realize that's not the way God does business. When he gives us healing, why do you think God made all these promises for everything? We don't just talk about healing here. We talk about jobs. We talk about getting your prayers answered for anything, for a house. I mean, God made us promises for everything, didn't he? Not just for healing, but you know, sometimes you pray a prayer for somebody and it happens right then. And we love it when we get to see God do those kind of things. And when he does that, sometimes he'll do that for you, especially when you first get started in the faith walk. You know, you ask him for something and he'll answer your prayer and you think, he did me the very same way. When I first started in my faith walk with God, I could pray the simplest prayer and man, somebody get healed just like that. And I thought, wow, why did it take me so long to get to this? This is simple. And then after 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 miracles or healings or whatever, I got to the point where I thought, man, this is simple. I can pray for anybody and get anything done. You know, I'm beginning to think, I'm somebody. Oh, what a problem. And then I tried to pray for somebody for something and it didn't happen. And I thought, oh God, what did I do wrong? What happened here? And then, I started talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I mean, when you pray for somebody, when you get started and everybody you pray for, it happens. And then you pray for somebody and it don't happen. And you think, wow, I don't understand this. Well, let me pray for you again. So I pray for you again and nothing happens. And so I began to petition the Lord, what is the problem here? And he said, sin. I said, sin? And I thought, wow, sin. So that means I must have sin in my life, or they must have sin in their life. And if I get rid of the sin, then I run across that scripture in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that says, no matter how many promises God make us, all the promises in Him are yes and amen. Is that what he said, Jackie? So if all the promises of God are yes and amen, and I pray for a young man a job, and he comes in next week, and he still doesn't have a job, what should I say? Well, let's don't pray again. It's not God's will for you to have a job. Is that what we should do? No, not at all. We should pray again, or at least continue to worship and praise the Lord for that, because I remember I learned a great lesson in several things with the Lord. But I remember one time whenever I sinned, and it was such a simple thing, I just made a statement that didn't line up with the Word of God, and in one heartbeat I was made sick. And I mean, I had a sinus problem, a splitting migraine headache, and all this come up on me in a heartbeat. And I realized that when I had made a statement, in fact, I'll just tell you how simple it is to sin. How many of you read the scripture in Romans 14:23? Anything we do that's not of faith is sin. You've heard that before? So what does God expect us, His children, to walk in? Faith or unbelief? Total faith. That's right. Total faith. And so if we don't walk in total faith, have we just sinned? Yes, we have. We don't like to think about that. But it's so easy for us to sin. Well, I mean, I was sitting at my office one day, and I was a regional engineer for a large corporation, and a general manager walked in, and he said, Thurman, have you read this fax? And I said, well, I don't know if I have or not. I said, let me see it. So he handed it to me, and he said, if certain things were to happen within our company, they may close the engineering division. Now, I'm the head of the engineering division. That means I have this very good job that I love to do, and if this thing comes to pass, I'm going to be without a job. And here I am about 55 years old. And you know what most men think when they get to be 55? You're starting to get over the hill anyway, you know, when you're 55. Most men think that. I looked at that fax, and when I read that, I said, gee, if this happens, I wonder what's going to happen to me. Now, who would think that was sin? But it was. Because who was I trusting for my well-being? My company. And who are we supposed to trust? God. Now, God doesn't like it when you trust somebody else besides Him. And so He put a demon on me in one heartbeat, and I went from being perfectly well to having sinus fluid run out of both nostrils so fast I couldn't even blow my nose quick enough, and a migraine headache. And I tell you, the general manager looked at me and said, good grief, what happened to you? A river break loose in your head? And I knew it wasn't going to do no good to explain to him, because he didn't even go to church. So I knew he wasn't going to understand the spiritual muscle. I mean, it's one thing to try to explain spiritual things to Christians, but it's totally a different thing to try to explain spiritual things to a worldly or a carnal person. They don't get it at all. So anyway, I just told him, it's okay. And so he took his facts and left. And of course, I started repenting of sin and started driving out the devil. I'd repent of sin. Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't trust you, but I do trust you. I'm not trusting this company. I'm trusting you. Now, you devil of hell, I command you to come out of me in the name of Jesus. I mean, you know, you walk by out in where some other people are, and as I walk by somebody, I walk close enough, and they hear me say, I repent of sin, and I rebuke you, devil of hell. And they look at me and say, what is wrong with this guy? What is wrong with him? Well, see, if you're not very spiritual, if you'd have been really spiritual, if you had have been a Christian, you'd have been really spiritual. When you heard me say that, you'd have come over and laid hands on me and say, Thurman, let me help you win this battle. See, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to learn to be able to do whenever we are a spiritual individual. We need to be able to walk in faith, to realize that we are in a war. Yes, God did give us this earth. He did give us dominion and authority, but you're not going to take it without a battle. It's not going to happen without a fight, I guarantee you. And most of us are wimps. You know, we don't want to fight. We want God to hand us all this. We want us to hand us healing and everything. And all we got to do is just say, oh, God, I'll ask you to heal me, and I want to thank you that it's done. Bam, you get healed, and you feel like $1 million. Now you want to go do what you want to do. You don't even want to praise him and thank him no more. And that's how easy. I mean, if he did it like that, it'd be a little while, we'd get to where we wouldn't praise him at all. We'd use him like a, you know, whatever. Yeah, he wouldn't be God, you know, so, like an ATM machine or something, yeah. It would be something. But anyway, as I did this, even my wife of that time, you know, she was not near as spiritual as I was. And now that's not Cheryl. This is the wife I was married to before Cheryl. But anyway, when I come home that first afternoon with my nose running, and sure, she didn't know I had a headache, but I told her I did. She said, well, let me run to the medicine cabinet and get you some pills. I said, no. I've realized this is not a physical thing. This is a spiritual issue. Well, she wasn't there at all. So, you know, well, let me get you some medicine. I said, no medicine for me. I'm going to win this battle. I'm going to win it. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to win it. And so I rebuked the devil. I did everything I knew to do from God's word. I quoted God's word. And finally, the fourth morning that I'm going back to work, as I'm leaving home, going back to work, I woke up with my nose running like crazy. My head's still killing me. I mean, it's hurting. And I'm quoting scripture, only my tone and my level is getting a little elevated. Before, when I'm saying, I repent of sin, I rebuke you, devil, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Well, nothing happened. Well, by the fourth morning on the way to work, I'm saying, I repent, Lord. I repent of sin. I command this devil of hell. It is written in Luke 10, 19 and 20, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I said, you shall in no wise hurt me. I said, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus, I am fed up with you, and I'm commanding you to come out of me and leave me now in the name of Jesus. And when I said, go, screamed it, all of a sudden I had no headache and I had a clear head, just as clear. And I was just awestruck. I don't mind telling you. I was out. And then the Lord, that's when the Lord showed me that big banner flying in the air up there. He showed me a banner and it says Matthew 11:12. I said, wow, Matthew 11:12. I said, Lord, I've read that scripture at least 100 times, but I had no idea what that meant until right now. But he says, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. Now then, if the violent, which is you and me, if we have to get violent sometime with the enemy to kick him out, when you think about that story that Jeff told you about when God gave them the land and said, oh, by the way, I didn't tell the people that live in that land that I give you all that, so when you go in, you're going to have to take it from them. You know, that would be kind of like the Lord speaking to you and say, you know, I've just given you this car. There's a car sitting outside out there, but it belongs to a heathen, you know, and I want you to go out there and take it away from him. I give that to you. You know, that don't make no sense to us, does it? That means I got to go out there. If God told me he'd give me a car and it's sitting out there, but there's a great big heathen bruiser sitting out there beside it, and I got to whip him before I can get his car. Does that make any sense? That, to us, that don't make no sense at all. But in the spirit world, that's what he does. And today, he's given us all power and all authority over these spirits that are dragging along with us. They're creating all of our problems. I mean, they're creating troubles for us. They're creating sickness and disease in us. I mean, these demons, if you could only see in the spirit what's happening to you, I can guarantee you there is a being that is sitting beside you. If Nancy was sitting here thinking about something, and even maybe right here in the service, and she's listening to every word I'm saying, there's a little critter, if she wasn't very spiritual, that would be sitting on her shoulder and saying, don't listen to him, he don't know what he's talking about. We know who that little guy is, don't we? The enemy. I mean, when you go to a church and they teach something that's spiritual, I mean, if it's carnal stuff, nah, no big deal. It ain't carnal stuff, not going to help you none anyway. But if you go to a place where they're teaching spiritual power and authority, there'll be a little critter, one of those little demons. He has come to steal that away from you, to come to put in your mind, don't believe him. you know, you've been to church all your life. Have you ever heard that? Just like a girl told me one time in Norway when I got through teaching, right out of the Word, I use Scripture for everything. And I'm talking about why so many women are sick. And these women over there don't know how to love themselves, and they certainly don't know how to submit to their husbands. And so I told from the Scripture where you got to love yourself, and if you're a wife, you have to be totally 100% submissive to your husband. Well, I used Scripture, 100%. After it was over, there was a lady came up to me and she says, I don't know where you get this stuff about I have to obey my husband, but she said, I've been in church all my life and I have never heard a preacher preach on that before in my life. She don't know where I get it. I was reading it to her out of the Word of God. What did she not understand about it is written? Well, who do you think was deceiving her the whole time she was listening? The enemy. He's sitting there saying, now, you know you've been in church all your life. Here you are, a 40-year-old woman. If what he's saying was true, you know somebody else would have taught you that you have to be submissive to your husband. But since you've never heard it, you know this loner that's coming along to do this, you know he's lying. He's not telling you the truth. But I'm reading it to her right out of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? You know, and so many people in the church today, you know, we don't believe this awesome God that we serve. I mean, he didn't just give us the city. He gave us, the Christians, the children of God, he gave us the whole world. It all belongs to us. And he gave us dominion and authority and power over it. Everything that we lost in the Garden of Eden. When he made us and put us in the garden, he said, now my children, I give you dominion over everything. He named it fish, everything, you know, everything that flies, crawls, walks, whatever, I've given you dominion. And, you know, today we have that dominion. And, you know, I didn't realize for lots of years why I couldn't grow a garden. You know, my mother and dad could grow a great garden. I could hold the garden, but I wasn't a kid that really liked a garden. So when I got older, I thought, well, I will grow me a garden. I didn't know these spiritual principles. And I thought, well, Mom and Dad, they raised a good garden. But I said, I know Mom and Dad had a green thumb, but I probably don't have one, so I guess a garden won't grow for me. Do you hear anything wrong with that statement? Everything's wrong with that statement. Yeah, that's right. I guess I couldn't grow anything. And I tried for a couple of years to grow a garden, and guess what? I couldn't grow a garden, you know? And then one day I was at a lady's place, and actually a guy and a lady, and they took me out back behind their house, and they had the most beautiful rose garden I ever saw in my life. This thing was beautiful, gorgeous. I walked out there with him and her, and she'd walk up to one of those little flowers, and she'd pet that little flower, and she said, you're going to get more beautiful as the days go on. You said, and she's talking, I'm thinking, this woman, she's lost it. She's talking to her flowers. But I come to realize later, I got with her husband. I noticed he done it a little, but not near as much as she did. I said, do you and your wife talk to your garden all the time? He said, Thurman, I've heard you preach where we have dominion and authority. I said, well, of course we do. He says, do you not believe your own preaching? I thought, well, so what do you mean? He said, we have dominion over those flowers. God made those for us. So he said, if you want to have beautiful flowers, you talk to them. You talk to them. He said, you be good to them. Do you know that my daddy, I saw my daddy do something one time. I had no idea. We went out and he had some tomato vines. They're supposed to make small tomatoes, but they didn't put no tomatoes on at all. None. Dad said, we're going to get the tomatoes fixed today. I said, what are we going to do? He said, come on out, I'm going to show you. We went out there. He picked up a little switch and he started switching. He started beating them tomatoes. I said, you will grow. You will produce. I mean, now y'all may think I'm crazy, but I saw this with my own eyes. My daddy spanked those tomato plants with a switch and commanded them to grow tomatoes in the name of Jesus. And it wasn't no time till little blooms started coming out on them things, and we had tomatoes just running out our ears that year. He said, this is the way you do it if they don't obey you. He said, you spank them. Have you ever heard that before? I saw it happen. When if we take the dominion and authority, now let's go back to what Jeff said earlier. When God gave the Israelites those all that land and all those cities, did he clean it out for them? What did he tell them to do? Go in and take it. Is that what he said, Jackie? You're going to have to go in and fight, right? Number, everything is like this in the spirit world. You know, if you, just like I was when I had that really bad sinus problem and the headache, when I got screaming mad with Scripture, it left. In other words, I had been getting more and more and more in violence as the days went along. The first day I was, you know, thinking, you know, well, I don't have to do anything. I don't want to offend anybody, so I'll just be kind of gentle. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and command you to go away. You see what I mean? And it didn't go away. It didn't obey me. But by the fourth day, I realized that I had been given dominion and authority over sickness and disease. And so, but that fourth day, if you'd have been with me in my truck that morning, I guarantee you'd either thought, if you hadn't been a spiritual person and you'd been there with me, you'd have thought, stop Thurman, let me get out and I'll walk to work. But getting spiritually rough with the enemy, what kind of results did it produce? It produced results. Yeah. He left. And I got healed. Now, I had to fight the battle for 4 days. So, if you get a hold, and I can remember that when we were out in Silver City, New Mexico, when we were casting those demons out of that little woman a few years ago, when I commanded those demons to come out of that little woman and they wouldn't come out, when I asked her, I said, how many is in there? When she said, 2,823 of us are in this woman. Now, I had never, that's my first encounter ever with demons of that magnitude. Now, I mean, in the scripture, Jesus asked that question to the demons in the Gadarenes, and they said, we are legion, we are many. Well, a legion, I understood, was 6,000. You know, so that means that poor little woman, or those two men, rather, had demons, 6,000, but this little woman, when I asked her, asked the demons, actually, I said, how many of you are in there? When they wouldn't come out, when I knew I had dominion and authority, and I commanded them to leave, and they would not, they said, the reason we're not coming out is because we have legal right to be here. I said, well, how many of you are in there? He said, there's 2,823 of us. I mean, right down to the nitty-gritty. Well, over the course of that day, 7.5 total hours, I'm casting demons out of that woman. And a couple of hours into it, Cheryl got involved with me, and then Dave got involved. So I had witnesses. You know, Cheryl was there, and of course, Cheryl got to see the little woman go flying through the air. You know, it was amazing to see a little girl that was sitting in a chair 1 second, and all of a sudden just goes flying 3 feet off the floor, straight out for twice the length of her body, and then hits on the floor. And of course, I go running over there and jump on her and start screaming, you know, come out of her and all this kind of stuff. And of course, that's when that one guy was sitting there, you know, he looked down, he said, sir, I'm a paramedic. He said, can I help you? And I said, well, do you know anything about casting out demons? He said, absolutely not. I said, no, then you can't help me. So, you know, I mean, I'm fighting a spiritual battle that almost nobody understands. And so, as we finally take her up to the room, and now that she's totally subdued by these demons, she don't even know what's going on. She don't remember anything happened that day. But as Cheryl and I and Dave are getting this woman set free, I mean, we come down to just a couple. I get bold and forceful several times, but there's two demons just will not come out of this woman. Now, we've repented of every sin and everything. I'm trying to get this woman free. And finally, here I am. Now, if you can see this scene, I am straddled. This woman's laying on our bed. Cheryl's sitting right by her here, her head. I am straddled her stomach with both legs, holding her arms down like this. And Dave is down holding her feet down so she don't kick me in the back of the head. This is quite a scene. You know, if you've never seen anything like this, you know, but this is the situation we were in that day. And as we were kicking these demons out of this woman, I asked the Lord, I looked over the clock, I said, Lord, I said, we've been at this 7.5 hours. I said, in an hour and a half, I got to preach at that church tonight. I said, Lord, when is this going to be over? And he said something to me that has forever changed the way I do business. He said, son, I am a faith God. And when you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over. Is that a great revelation? So who is it up to? Us and our faith. When he said, I've given you dominion and power, all power over the enemy, he shall in no wise hurt you. What do you think he meant? That's right, I've given you all power. Now it's up to you to, by faith, kick them out. Well, I'd got all of them out but two. Out of 2,823, I'm down to two. But this time, this is what I did. When he told me that, when I heard him say, when you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over. I mean, I shook that woman. I screamed at the top of my lungs in that room. I mean, I quoted scripture. I commanded them devils to come out. And I said, now you're going to obey me. And I believe with all my heart it's done. So I said, you are delivered in the name of Jesus, woman. And I jumped off her and stood up and looked back. And I said, now, woman, get up off that bed. You're delivered in the name of Jesus. And she looked up and she looked up at Cheryl and she said, who are you? Then she looked down at the feet. There's Dave. She said, what are you doing? I said, woman, you're delivered. So she gets up and she has no knowledge of what's happened all day long. But I got so far, if the Lord told me, I have given you complete dominion and power, all power is given to you over the enemy, then who in the world is it to think that I have been given, really been given this kind of power? Do I really have this kind of power? If God said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What do you think he meant? He meant exactly what he said, didn't he? So why is it that most of us in the church are like I was most of my life? I was a wimp when it comes to spiritual things. You know, if I had any kind of faith to pray, you know, I might say, oh, God, Lord, if it be your will you please deliver this woman of her demons? What do you think that's going to get done in the spirit world? It's right, Eldon. It ain't going to happen. There ain't nothing going to happen until you do something in faith. Just like God says, I give you this land, now go in and possess it. That means we're going to have to fight. Is that right? Does that mean we're going to have to fight physically? Yeah. They're going to fight physically. They're going to pick up their swords and their spears, and they're going in there, and some of them are going to die. Is that true? Some of them are going to die. You have a question? You're just waving your arm. Okay. You just cheered me on. Okay, praise God. Praise God. And I love to be cheered on, because this is, remember, if God gave you and me complete dominion and power and authority over sickness and disease, once we've repented of the sin, how much power do we have over it? We have all. So if that's true, then anytime we get a bad report after we've been prayed for one time, what do? Give up? Absolutely not. We do not give up. Once we have repented of the sin, the thing about it is, when we sin, we open the door and let the beast in. Now then, he's the enemy and he's in. Who was in the country of Israel? The enemy. But did God give them the land? Now he told them to take it, right? Whenever he said unto the new covenant, behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He said, I bore your sickness and removed your disease. In Matthew 8:17. If Jesus has already bore my sickness and removed my disease, then why do I still have it? Because I have not kicked out the enemy that's in there by faith. You know, the enemy that your wife kicked out of your back that day that you got healed the first time, he was not a very powerful enemy because y'all didn't pray in very wild faith. But God was merciful to y'all, right, Mike? He's training you. Is that right, Gracie? I bet you didn't get wild like that, did you? You just prayed. But see, when you start out, that's just exactly the way it was with me. When I started out, God honored my little bit of faith because he knew I didn't have very much faith. You know, none of us have great faith. I will have to say, Michael, your faith greatly increased after that day, didn't it? Jack, after you got healed here that time, I remember when Jack came to me the first time, and after we got his back healed and everything, and he was going, me and him went out to get a piece of equipment, and we're in his car. He said, Thurman, where do you get this sin sickness relationship? He said, I've been in church all my life, and as you can see, he's a young man like me. He's a little younger than me, but he is, you know, he's been in the business for a while. He's not a teenager. And he said, where do you get this? And I said, well, I get it from God's word. And I said, Jack, come to the healing school Saturday. I said, I'm going to spend the first 2 hours showing the sin sickness relationship and how that after we, how we open the door to the devil when we sin, how we let him in. And then once he gets in other words, I keep using that, like Jeff said, the land or the territory. Once he gets into our land, when we repent of our sin, does he just automatically go away? No, he doesn't go away at all. He says, oh, I like it in here. You know, it's nice and warm in here. I like it. And I don't have to be out looking for a house. Now I have one. And so he loves it. And so lots of people today repent of sins and they get free of the sin, but they never go through a deliverance. There's never a demon driven out of their life. And so that beast may be in your life forever. You may carry him all the rest of your life. And there'll be things he will do to you that you won't like. There will be bad thoughts that come to your mind. Now, sometimes this can be from outside or inside. In other words, how many of you have ever been driving down the road, and especially if you've had a little problem maybe with somebody or maybe even your spouse, and you're all upset in the first place, and you're driving down the road, and you're driving 60 miles an hour or 70 miles an hour, and all of a sudden a little thought comes to you, why don't you just pull over and hit the truck in front of you? You ever had a thought like that? You never had a thought like that. You know, well, the devil, he'll do it to you. I guarantee he'll do it to you. Or, now, your husband's talking to you, and you don't like what he's saying, and a little voice says, why don't you just knock him out? Oh, you've heard that one. See, he works on us in different ways, doesn't he? Let's just face it. You know, I've named just a couple of examples. How many of you have heard the devil tell you to do something that wasn't godly? Okay, so now we're getting down to serious business here. We don't have to know what the sin was, but we know who the beast is. And we know he don't let none of us get by with nothing. You know, he will, I mean, it's really good. I mean, he will make you want to hurt somebody and people that don't understand it. Just like, how many of you remember here a few years ago, there was a Pentecostal pastor, a wife, I believe she was in Plano or McKinney or somewhere over on the east side of Dallas. And she's driving down the road over there, and all of a sudden she hears a voice. Now she's got, I believe it was 3 or 4 children in seat belts, all strapped into the car, and she heard a voice say, drive into the lake. Did you remember that, Jackie? When she got out, she was the only one that got out. All the children drowned, all of them. It was all strapped in, and by the time somebody got there, she got out, she opened the door, released her seatbelt, and swam to the top. But by the time anybody could get there, all of the children, they said, why in the world did you do this? And she said, well, God told me to drive into the lake and kill my children. Do you remember that? It was on the news. Now, who do you think that God was? Of course, it was the devil. It wasn't God. This was a Pentecostal preacher's wife. You would have thought she had enough knowledge in the spirit world to know that when that voice, what did God tell you to do with every thought? Take captive every thought and bring that thought into obedience to the commands of me. Did Jesus command you to love your children? He didn't tell you to kill your kids, did he? Who is it that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy? Sure, Satan. So who do you think that voice that she heard came from? The devil. You know, as soon as I heard that, I thought, wow, the devil won another one. And he beat a Pentecostal wife, preacher's wife. He deceived her, you know. And here she is thinking it was God that was telling her to pull into the lake and drowned all of her children. And she did it. She drove right into that lake and drowned all of those children. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to realize there is an invisible world out there that we can't see. That invisible world is going to either make you or break you. I mean, those demons of hell come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if we, as sons and daughters of God, do not learn who these critters are and what they do to us, they will defeat you. If you do not learn that God has given you this dominion, just think, here a while back we taught for a couple of Sundays on, behold, it gives me great pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom. What does the kingdom include? Everything. Dominion, authority, power, everything. The kingdom of God belongs to us, the children of God. And the Lord says, I give it to you, my children. And it gives me great pleasure to give you the keys of the kingdom. And then he says in Matthew 16, whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Is that what he said? And whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. How much power and authority is that from our King? Now, isn't that something? That he give us all that power and all that authority. And if we're not careful, we go through life for years with a back problem, going to a Baptist church, and never understand how to pray. Right, Jack? That's you. Well, it's just like Michael, too. He went through back problems. But now then, both of you guys have learned something about your spiritual authority. You know how to pray, and they know how to pray. You know, I mean, we have learned now that the spiritual authority we have, whenever things don't go our way, if we can't get it done praying on our own, who should we go get? You want to go get another spiritual Christian. You want to go get a man or a woman of God that believes that they have dominion and power over whatever your problem is, right? So they can, don't pray with you like this. Oh, God, if it be your will you please? No, this girl says, no, I don't want no prayers like that. She wants somebody that can pray for her in boldness, that can knock out the enemy, right? Yeah, power. That's what you want. How do we get that power? We read the Word of God. We listen to what God says. We realize that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He has given us the kingdom. And just think, I asked this question to a group of men one time. I was right over there in my house. I was teaching a Thursday night Bible study to just a group of men from the church up in Justin, all ages. And we got to Matthew 16, and we're talking about whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. I said, what's that mean? There was about 10 or 12 guys there that night. I just started around the room. I said, tell me what that means. Tell me what that means. All the way around the room. Guess what kind of answer I got? Had no idea. No idea. Not a single one of them had no idea. And then I went on into Corinthians. And I said, you know, do you not know that we've been given all this power and authority that we're even going to judge angels? All power and all authority has been given to us, and we're going to judge angels. And that night, there was a school teacher there, and she had a master's degree, and her husband had a PhD, and he was principal of school. And I said, let me ask all of y'all a question as we read that. What does that mean? We're going to judge angels. And guess what kind of answer I got there? No, a blank stare. That's right, no idea. I mean, even a PhD, which is a principal of a school that goes to church every Sunday, had no idea what that meant, that he was going to judge angels someday. Yeah? I mean, if God said we're going to judge angels, what does that mean? We're going to judge angels. That's what it means. You don't have to second guess God. I mean, all you got to do is realize the dominion and power and authority that he's given us as his sons and daughters. But on this earth, he give us this earth and then says, okay, now then, I've given you the earth, but there's a lot of enemies out there. Go possess it. And that's what we got to do, right, Jack? But if we have been given all power and authority over the enemy, should we have any major problem subduing the enemy? No, but once in a while you're going to run into a big one. Just like those last two that we had, that little lady out there in Silver City, New Mexico. I mean, them last two demons, they are not coming out of that woman until I get down to that bold faith. In fact, I will have to tell you that my faith was so high when we left there. We come home, I was on fire. I mean, I could walk 3 feet off the ground, not even touch the ground. You know? I mean, I had such faith. And then Cheryl and I go to Norway, you know, and the year before last, or about 2 or 3 years ago now, I guess. Anyway, we went to Norway, and we got over there, and there was, while we were there teaching in a class, in the mornings, they wanted me to teach the Bible study class to 30 or 40 or 50 people. And so I did that. And there was a man called and said he had a wife that he wanted to bring. He heard I was going to be there for a week, and he wanted to bring her, and he wanted me to minister and pray over her. So I told him, I said, bring her on. So the next morning, he brought this woman. And when we went to lunch, he said, well, y'all go ahead and go to lunch, and then you can minister to my wife after lunch. I said, no, we're not going to go to lunch. We're going to minister to your wife first. I said, what's the problem? And she was telling me all the problems she had and everything. And I said, is this your only husband? And, well, I had another one before him. And I said, was he a Christian? Oh, no, he was a member of a cult. Oh, so you were married to a man in the occult? And she said, yes, and said, he cast spells and done all kinds of crazy things. I said, okay. There was two people, that man and woman and an elderly couple, and she had been in a wheelchair for, I forget how many months, 4 years? Okay, yeah, 4 years, and they brought her in a wheelchair, and 4 years she'd been in that wheelchair, and this younger woman, which was, I guess, 45 or 50, I just told her, I said, you know, you got a demon. The problem you got is a demon, and it got in because your other husband. I said, so I'm just going to take authority over this demon. So I just reached up and grabbed her by the shoulders forcefully, and I said, you devil of hell, I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus. This, huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so we were also, I reached around behind her to pull a fiery dart out of her. And when I did, this woman just went down like this, just right flat on the floor. Well, and she's screaming and everything. And I told Cheryl, I said, we got a live one here. I said, get down here on the floor with me. So Cheryl just jumped down on the floor with me. I mean, you know, it's amazing. I jumped down and I'm grabbing this woman. Come out of her in the name of Jesus. I said, you devil of hell, ain't gonna be no 7.5 hours on this one. I got lots more faith than I had then. I said, it's done. Within five minutes, I got up. I said, woman, get up. You're delivered. I guarantee it in the name of Jesus. And the woman, she looks around. She gets up and I said, how you feel? She said, all the pain's gone. I'm okay. She said, wow. She said, and her husband was standing there looking, man, this is awesome. I ain't never seen nothing like this. And so I looked over at the woman who'd been in a wheelchair all these years, and her eyes are about this big. An elderly woman. You know, I don't know how old she is, but she's an elderly woman. So I just walked over and her just slapped her on. I said, get out of that wheelchair, woman. Get up in the name of Jesus. Reached up and grabbed her by the hand, jerked her up, and this woman just come bouncing out of the wheelchair and just walking all over the place. I mean, when you get that kind of faith, you can see Jesus do awesome things. Now, think about this in the scripture. When people had demons, when Jesus cast them out, when he cast out demons, what did it do to eyes? Blind eyes could see. Once he cast out demons. I mean, arms that wouldn't work, when he cast out demons, they would work. When people that are bowed over and couldn't raise themselves up for 18 years, he cast out the spirit of infirmity, and what happened to the body? It raised up. It was healed. So what is it that's creating all of our problem with our physical flesh? Demonic spirits. That's right. It is demonic spirits. Now, when we realize it's demonic spirits that's doing this to us, most of us, when a demon comes to us, even as a good Christian, if you've been in a church that's never taught you anything about demons, and you come down with a sickness or a pain or a headache or anything else, I mean, just think, who would ever dream that Peter's mother's laying at home with a fever? Jesus just walked in and touched her, and what happened to those spirits? Just like that. The woman was instantly delivered. The fever left. She got up and prepared a meal for them. She was healed. So what is it that's creating our problems? Invisible spirits. Things we cannot see from the scripture. And how much power and authority do we have over these bees? Just like that day, Eldon was with me that day over there at the Home Depot, whenever we were starting to check out, and Dave was with us, there were several of us there, and this little Spanish woman, she was, I think it was Dave or Eldon, maybe it's Eldon. He said, "Ma'am, is there something wrong with you?" And she says, "I have a terrible splitting headache." And Dave said, "Well, can we pray for you?" And by the time Dave says, "Can we pray for you?" I'm already just reaching for her. You know, as he says, "Can we pray for you?" And I just reach up and put my hand on her head like that. And as soon as I touched her, she says, "No." And I said, "Oh, ma'am, it's too late. I touched you in faith." I said, "I guarantee you don't have a headache no more." What did Jesus do to Peter's mother? Did he command anything to come out? Did he just lay his hands on her and that thing came out? Now, did Jesus say in his word, "I tell you the truth, the things that I've done shall you do in my name"? Is that what he said? Don't y'all think it's time we start believing Jesus? If Jesus told us, "I tell you the truth, all these wonderful things that I did as your king, I'm passing that power and authority on to you. Now, not only will you do what I have been doing, but in my name you shall do greater things." Isn't that awesome? Now, that's written in the Word of God. You know that, girl? Yeah. It's amazing. John 14:12, you know. I mean, it's so amazing. In fact, let me put, some of you may not know that scripture, but John 14:12, 13, and 14, let me put that on the board so you can see that, to see that, hey, I'm not telling you some wild story. I'm telling you the truth. This is it. And some of you know this, don't you? Yeah, you know it, don't you, girl? You've seen that before. But look at this. It says, John 14:12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." Now then, let me ask you this question. How many of you in this room believe in Jesus? Okay, that's most of us. If you don't believe in Jesus, you need to see me or one of these prayer warriors here before you go home. Because you don't want to go home not knowing Jesus, right? No, you want to know Jesus. Because look, this is only for the believers. "I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father." And is that a, now, Jesus made that promise to who? The church, to us, the believing believers. Now, obviously, we must have a bunch of unbelieving believers, don't we, brother? And we need to eliminate that problem somehow, right? I mean, you know, most people are like I was. I was in a Baptist church all my life. I didn't even know I was in a war. I didn't know I was having to possess my land. Did you, Jack? No, I didn't know I was having to possess the land. You know, I didn't know I was having to fight. I didn't know I was having to carry my sword with me with my hand on it most of the time. You know, when you realize you're in a battle, you know, if I was a police officer, I would walk most of the time with my hand on my gun. You know, because, I mean, I know how people are. In fact, here a while back, I have a good friend that is a police officer in Dallas. He's just a wonderful Christian man, great man of God. But he's a police officer. And he stopped some young guys. They were speeding or something. And he stopped them. And he's down in South Dallas, the good part of Dallas, you know. And as he stopped them, these four or five boys in this car, he's up there, and of course he's looking in the car, paying attention, and he's going to write him a ticket. And he looks down, and he sees the barrel of a pistol laying under a little magazine right in the front seat. When he saw that laying there, he said, "I guess I stopped," and maybe, he said, the boy, which was watching me, he immediately grabbed the gun. When he grabbed the gun, he said, "Thurman, I had my gun out, had it cocked, and I was pulling on the trigger." When he said, "Officer, it's only a BB pistol," he said, I nearly killed that kid. But see, as a police officer, that could have been a 38. And that man could have been just like the one the other day that he was going to stop him. And it's a good thing that officer had a vest on, because he hit him twice in the chest and once in the head. But If he hadn't had that vest on, that boy would be dead. Y'all know that? But see, you don't ever know. With the criminals that are out there today, you don't ever know. So that's why I wouldn't make a very good police officer, I'll tell you for sure. You know, because I would be spring loaded, you know. I really would. You know, I mean, but that's the way we should be in the spirit world. We should be spring loaded, like I was, you know, with that woman had the headache. I mean, as soon as he said, "Can we pray for you?" I'm going for her. You know, I'm spring loaded. And it's, I just touch her. And when she says, "No," I said, "It's too late, ma'am. I've done laid hands on you now." I said, "I guarantee you don't have a headache." Now, when you and I do something in faith, when you turn around to her and say, "I guarantee you don't have a headache," who do you think is going to be there to back up what you just said? The King. That's right. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I think he was very happy with us that day. But, oh, yeah. Yeah, the headache was over. In fact, there was a guy that was checking out right in front of us. And he told us, he said, "Guys," he said, "I'm a Christian." And he said, "I thought I was an on fire Christian until I came here today in Home Depot. But he said, "That guy right there," he's pointing at Eldon. He said, "That guy right there, he can be over here on an aisle and doing something, and you can be over on an aisle doing something over here." And you say, "Eldon, where are you?" And he said, "Thurman, I'm over here on this side talking to this man about Jesus." I said, "Okay, as soon as you get through, come over here." He said, "I have never seen two men talk this vocal and as loud all over a store." He said, "There was nobody in Home Depot didn't know what you guys were up to." He said, "I've never seen guys like you guys." He said, "I'm not where you guys are, but," he said, "I'm going to get where you guys are." You remember that guy, Eldon? He was checking out, but I thought to myself, that's just like the day I was right there over there in that Home Depot, that same store. I was by myself, and I saw two guys with black shirts on with white letters on the back that with a big white cross and said, "Jesus is Lord." I went over and I tapped one. They were getting something off of a rack, and I tapped one of them on the shoulder, and he turned around and he says, "Thurman Scribner." I said, you know me?" He said, "Do I know you?" He said, "I'll never forget you." I said, "Well, I don't remember you." I said, "What did I do?" He said, "A few years ago, somebody told us about you, and I had a son that had seizures, 3, 4, 5, I remember if it was a day or a week. But he said, my son had seizures. I took him to the doctors and everything. Nobody could help him. Somebody told me about you, and he said, I called you, and you come to my house. You found our sin. We repented of our sin. You cast that demon out of our son." He said, "That's been 5 years ago, and my son is now 10 years old. He ain't never had a seizure." He said, "In fact, I'll tell you why I'm doing what I'm doing." He said, "I've got this shirt on that says Jesus is Lord because of what Jesus did for my son." He said, "I go and help people." He said, "This buddy of mine and myself, we go," and he said, "he knew my son before and after. And so after my son got healed, we realized how real Jesus is." And he said, "Before, we were just normal church members. But," he said, "now we realize how real Jesus is." So he said, "What we're doing, we go out and we help people, women and men that are older, that can't do things for themselves in their own home and need little things done. You know, maybe a bathroom drain stopped up or some kind of work, light bulb burn out, they can't reach, they can't get up on a ladder." He said, "We just go fix things for people," and said, "we do this for free and we don't charge them nothing. And it's all because you came to my house and kicked the demon out of my 5-year-old son that had seizures." I'm telling you, we need some men of God that are not wimps in the spirit world, right? We need some men that can get out there and kick out these devils, and realizing our authority, we need to live like men of God. I mean, if we are Christians and we really believe that these things are true, then we ought to be praying for people. We ought to be out living holy before God, right? When you go into a restaurant, don't go in there and sit down and eat. Go in there and sit down and pray and eat. You know, I mean, and don't pray silently, afraid you're going to offend somebody. You know, I know I've told some of you the story that when we were in Kansas here a while back, we were up there, and after we preached in that church that night, the pastor wanted to take us to eat because it was like 11 o'clock or something like that, 11, 11:30, whatever it was. So we stop over at an IHOP. It's the only thing that's open that time of night. So we go in here, we sit down, and the pastor takes Dave on to the hotel. Dave has learned a long time ago, you don't hang out with the Scriveners. You don't get much sleep if you hang out with us. He said, take me to the hotel. I need my sleep. And Dave misses lots of good stuff. You know, so anyway, he takes him to the hotel. While he's taking him to the hotel, Cheryl and me and the pastor's wife, we stop in this IHOP and we're ordering. And the young man comes up to me and I said, hey, son. He said, what do y'all want? And I said, before I tell you what I want to ask you something. He said, what's that? I said, are you a Christian? He says, no. I said, first of all, I said, do you go to church? He said, no. I said, are you a Christian? He said, no. I said, son, you need to believe in Jesus. And when I said that, I said it about as loud as I said it right there. And so about two or three booths over, somebody over there said, who is that said something about Jesus? He said, you know you can't talk about Jesus in a public place. Oh, I mean, I know that's the devil talking, and I know my spiritual authority. So I jump out of my booth, and I go running back over here. Out here, I go pounding over the deal, and I said, come out of him, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I said, now then, Lord, I ask you to convict the man of sin and save him in Jesus' name. And he says, oh, sir, thank you. When's the last time you saw a demonstration of the Holy Spirit like that in a restaurant? What's wrong with us? I mean, I kicked that devil out of that boy and that man, and after I kicked him out of him, he stood up. He said, sir, he said, thank you. He said, can I hug you? I said, sure. So I just crawled on over the top of the divider there between the two booths. He stood up in the booth and he just grabbed me and kissed me on the cheek. He said, I want to tell you thank you again. I thought to myself, he finished his meal. We were eating ours. And he got ready to leave, and he come back around there. And of course, Dan, the pastor, he came in about that time. And of course, that young man says, before I leave, I just want to tell you thank you. I really appreciate what you did for me. Well, I kicked the devil out of him, asked the Lord to convict him of sin and save him right there. And so anyway, the pastor, he didn't know what was going on. And as that guy left, there was two guys get up over here at a table and walk over, and he says, are you a pastor? I said, well, yes, I am. He said, are you preaching somewhere here in Kansas? I said, yeah, at his church. He said, how do we get to it? Are you going to preach anymore? I said, yeah, tomorrow night and Saturday. He says, good. Do you have a card? He said, we want to come. I said, okay. So Dan gave both of them a card and said, and he told them where it was. And they said, we know exactly where it is, right up by the FAA Center. He said, I know where that's at. We will be there. And by the way, the guy reached in his pocket, took his billfold out, and pulled a $100 bill out. And he said, here, I ain't never seen nothing like this in a restaurant. He said, this is worth $100, easy. And he gave me a $100 bill. Is that right, honey? And the next two services, guess who was there? Both them guys was there. I saw both of them, both services, they came. You know, if we would produce a demonstration of the Spirit's power, I mean, we need to learn who we are as Christians, do we not? We really need to learn who we are as Christians, and we need to be doing something in faith in the name of Jesus. And, I mean, just think about this. Here we are, children of God, we've been given the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. Isn't that amazing? That is awesome. I read that in the Message Bible. How many of you ever heard of the Message Bible? Okay, some of you have. It said something like this. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. That's that same scripture that says whatever you bind or whatever you loose. It says a yes and a no. Isn't that something? The thing about it is, when we realize the dominion and the power and the authority that's been given to us, you will never be afraid of a demon again. Now then, that means, that's just like Dee Dee back there. You know, she's a precious lady that we've been working with for a while. You know, when this girl came to us a few months ago, she knew she was terminal. She's a doctor. You know, she's sitting right over there in that purple outfit. And she knew she was terminal. But she came here, and we started praying over her, getting rid of her sins and all those things. And as of last week, when she went to wherever, I don't know if it was here or Colorado, where they went to, but from here down, her body is completely clear of all tumors and everything. Completely. But she still had some in her brain. So her and her mother came out here for, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours. What day was it, Monday or Thursday? I forget what day it was. Thursday, they came out here, and we all got in a room together, and we prayed over her again. And even after praying over her again and rebuking those spirits in her brain, that the only things left, when she walked in the door a while ago, as I happened to be back there, when she walked in, what do you think I did to her? I jumped on her again, put my hands on her head, and began to rebuke this devil of hell and command those tumors to drive and pass out of her body in the name of Jesus. Is that what we should do? Yeah. Somebody said, well, maybe they're already gone. That's okay. If they are, well, praise God. I just want them devils to know that I mean business. Don't you? This little girl told me the other day, Thursday, I guess it was, that she had gained back 14 pounds? You'd gain? Oh, 19. She'd gained back 19 pounds. So, we're not going to lose this girl, are we, Mama? We ain't going to lose her. I mean, we're going to win this battle. Now then, I'm telling you for sure that we have been given all dominion and all power and all authority. You know, when you see this, in fact, some of you know that, maybe all of you know this, but maybe some of you don't know this. When we talked about the dominion and power and authority that Jesus said here, let's go to the next two verses and let me show you what he said back to back with this verse. This verse is almost more than the average Christian can stomach, I'll tell you for sure. This is almost bigger than you can think. Then he goes on to say after that in verse 13 and 14, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. When we have a promise like that, and then those promises that Jeff read a while ago that says, ask, keep asking, keep knocking, you know, if we have those kind of promises, why should we ever lose a person in the church? We shouldn't. That's absolutely right. We should never lose a person to sickness or anything. I mean, we should never have a need very long for anything. If we got a job that we can't find, we ought to find somebody who can pray that prayer of faith for you and then start claiming that job, right? And in a few days or maybe a couple of weeks or whatever, you should have it. And if you don't have it, you need to jump up and down and say, you devil of hell, you've been trying to keep me from getting this job. Now I bind you, I command you to get your hands off of my job. I know God wants me to have a good job, so I'm claiming by faith the job you want me to have in the name of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You got to make sure you've got rid of all the sin. In fact, Karen over here, whenever she first came to me years ago, she came up and, you don't mind if I tell your story, do you? Okay. It's such a good story. It says, in other words, she had been married to her husband at that time, 25 years or something like that? Okay, 20-something years. I mean, she's not a new wife, that's for sure. She's been around for a while, her and her husband have, and they got grown kids and everything else. But I remember the first time she came up for prayer. I said, what can I pray for you for, young lady? And she said, I want you to pray for my husband. I said, well, what's wrong with your husband? She said, he won't do what I tell him. I said, well, ma'am, he's not supposed to do what you tell him. I said, you're supposed to submit to your husband. She said, what? I said, yes. So I got the Bible out and I showed her everywhere the Word of God says a wife's supposed to submit to her husband. Well, a couple of weeks later, the first time ever I saw her husband, he come to church with her. And when he came in, he come up and he's kind of looking me over. And I said, sir, I said, can I pray for you for something? He said, well, yeah, you can. But he said, before you do, I got a question. I said, what's that? He said, what did you do to my wife? I said, before I answer that, is it better or worse at home? He said, it's much better. He said, I think he said they've been married 20-something years. He said, we've never had such peace in our home as we've had the last 2 weeks. He said, I mean, what'd you do to her? I said, well, I just showed her what her position was, and obviously she got it. I said, you know, obviously she's obeying God. He said, we started to go see one of my daughters, or one of our daughters, and he said, usually she never agrees with me, so she asked me that morning, what do you think? And I told her what I thought we should do. And she said, well, I think we should do this. And he said, but I think we ought to do it this way. She said, okay, no problem. He said, never has my wife ever done that. He said, she's the sweetest thing. He said, I love her. I says, okay, so if everything's much better, what do you need now? He said, I need a job. He said, I hadn't had a job in 13 months. Now see, he did not understand, and Karen didn't either, the scripture in 1 Samuel that says if anybody's out of spiritual authority in the home, there's witchcraft in the home. There's disobedience and there's witchcraft in the home. And so by her not walking in obedience to God's word, and I'm telling you what, ladies, don't none of y'all say that nothing, because probably a lot of y'all have been in the same place with your husband. If y'all know what I mean. This ain't no unique case with Karen, I can guarantee you. Women do not understand what they're supposed to be as the wife, and they're supposed to submit to their husband. Most women don't know that. But so anyway, but she had no idea, and he didn't either, of the consequences. And so he said, I've been out of a job for 13 months. He said, I've had resumes out. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a certified engineer. I said, well, you need a good job. And he said, yes, I do. And he said, I can't find one nowhere. I said, well, the reason you can't is because there was witchcraft in y'all's home. I said, but now then the witchcraft's gone. I said, your wife is walking in total obedience to God's word. She's walking and you're happy now, right? He said, oh my goodness. He said, no, things have never been so good. He said, I love it. And I said, okay. So I said, how much money do you want? He said, well, Thurman, I got to have at least $50,000. I can't make it. I said, you're a certified engineer. You ought to be making much more than $50,000. So I said, I'll tell you what to do. Instead of me asking God to give you a job that pays $50,000, why don't I just ask God to give you the job he wants you to have with the money he wants you to have as an obedient son? He said, I can agree with that. So I asked the Lord to give her husband the job he wanted him to have. And I won't tell you, but I will tell you for sure that Tuesday when he got the job offer, it was a whole lot above $50,000. And David is still, I guess, still working at that same place, isn't he, Karen? Is that something? Wow. See, now that part I didn't know. So that's great that they had owed this debt. I knew they had to forgive the person, but I did not realize, she probably told me that, but I didn't remember, that when they forgave him, her boss, or his boss, David's boss, or whatever, for that money, what did you say, $13,000? Oh, $23,000. $26,000, okay. And when y'all forgave him, then y'all owed that same amount of money to somebody else, and they wrote you a letter and forgave you. Isn't that amazing? You know, now, that's a part of the story I never heard, but I'm so grateful that, you know, this thing about forgiveness. I mean, this in the kingdom, this is a no-no in the kingdom. We, as sons and daughters of God, are never to hold a grudge against anybody for anything, because it prevents the blessing of God from flowing into our lives. And just this part of the story that I'd never heard that Karen just told us, that's so awesome to think that the very minute that you forgave, that then God went to work and got somebody else to forgive you the same amount of debt.
We didn't
ask. No, we didn't even ask. They just did it. Now, that's got to be God, isn't it, Karen? But you see, if we understand that there's always, when we can't get a job, or we can't get well, or we can't get whatever we need, there's always a sin behind it. Now, when we get rid of the sin, God always says yes to his promises, doesn't he, Jack? And don't we love that part? When we pray, and we pray in faith, we get to see God do these awesome, wonderful things for his people. Now then, why do we have so much trouble believing that God can do these kind of things for us? After all, he's only God. Is that right? Is he the one that spoke and the universe came into existence? He's the one that spoke and the earth came into existence? You know, now I realize we forget, and I'm telling you, we really do forget that right now, we are somewhere on a circle around the sun, out in the middle of space. We are going forward at approximately 70,000 miles an hour. Is that pretty fast? Ain't no jet airplane to fly that fast, is there? Yeah. We're going 70,000 miles an hour through space, and by God putting that speed alone is the speed that can hold it where the magnetic pull will hold it on a complete orbit where that we go around and we always stay the same distance from the sun. Now, if he sped it up or slowed it down, it wouldn't work. But it has to be about 70,000. And then also, when he give this thing this little wobble and this little twist like this, we're going about 1,003 miles an hour in a circle. The earth is spinning like a top. So that we will be back exactly at the same place tomorrow that we are right now. In 24 hours, we will have done not 24 hours and 10 seconds, not 24 hours and 5 seconds, but 24 hours and 0 seconds, we'll be back to the same place. Isn't that amazing? And this thing don't slow down. It just keeps going. You know, I mean, do you name me somebody that can spin a top out there and for 10,000 years later, it's still going the same speed? No, it's going to slow down. It's going to stop. But we are doing that. And who's doing that? The Lord. And then when we look out there, just like the other day, somebody that knows I love the cosmos, they sent me a beautiful picture of the one of the galaxies that are out there. It was called the Swirl Galaxy. I never saw so many blue. It looked like blue and white flowers. It was gorgeous. And it had a center with big wings on it that come out, you know. And it said all these are planets and stars and suns and everything. And I'm thinking, wow, look at this. Isn't it gorgeous? They said it's the closest one to us. The closest one. The closest galaxy away from us. And said, if you could travel at the speed of light. Now then, the speed of light, if I could take a gun and I could hold it level and I could pull the trigger and the bullet could go at the speed of light, not of sound, speed of light, in 1 second, you know how many times it would go around the world? 7.5 times. Now that's pretty fast, isn't it? 7.5 times around the world by the time I could say 1,001. That's fast. I don't know anything that works that fast, do you, besides light? But just think. And who made light? The Lord. So if it can go around the world 7.5 times in 1 second, now if I could straighten that bullet out and shoot it at the Swirl Galaxy to get to the center of it, it's not very far away at that speed. It would only take 34 million years to get there. That's all it would take. 34 million, not 34 years, not 34,000, but 34 million years to get to that galaxy. And some of us can't even have faith to believe for a headache. Isn't that sad? I mean, but he did tell us that, didn't he? We are to reign and rule with the King forever. So if we're going to be reigning and ruling with him, I think he probably is having to do a little training on our part, don't you? A lot. A lot. Yes, Bill. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's good. I've used my angel several times. Do you know that it took me a long time to realize I had angels and they were given to me and God gave them charge over me and that they will honor my request and do things for me? I mean, I remember one day we was over there in the gym. We was building Tim's gym and me and Dave was trying to stand up a wall. And the wall was 18 feet tall and it was the whole wall was 45 foot long, but we made it in two sections. You know, a 22-foot section and a 22-foot section, and it's 18 foot tall, and it's made out of double 2x6s because it was going to be the one in the gym. Do you know that's a pretty heavy wall? And so Dave and I was going to try to stand that wall up, and we got us some ladders. We tried first to stand it up, and we couldn't. We just couldn't get it up. We had some ladders that we were going to lean it on so we could get under and get a second hold, but we couldn't. It was just too heavy. So we let it back down. It almost fell on us. We got down out. It was hot that day, and I told Dave, I said, man, I got to have a drink of water before we try that again. And we sat there drank a cold water, and he said, Thurman, I know where you messed up. I said, what do you mean? He said, you didn't ask the Lord to send any angels to help us. I said, you're right. So we finished drinking our water. I walked over there. I stepped in my end of the deal. He stepped in his end. I said, now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to send me an angel. I said, angel, I want you to help us pick this wall straight up, stand it up right here in Jesus' name. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, angels. Done. I said, Dave, get your end. He reached down. We picked it up. Went, bam. He said, man, I didn't hardly pick up anything. I said, me either. So who do you think stood that wall up? The angel. That's right. Could I see him? No, I couldn't see him. But how much dominion and power and authority do we have on the earth? All. All dominion, all the power, and all authority. And when we get in trouble, have you ever heard somebody say, I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden I come to a slick spot, or my car started doing something crazy, and I cried out, oh, Jesus, help me! And all of a sudden my car just straightened right out. You heard those kind of stories? Well, I have a few of those too. Cheryl and I have been, we did that in an airplane one time. You know, I did that the wrong way. We were coming in, and we had all kinds of electrical failures on our Seneca. We was coming in from Odessa, and it was raining and everything else, and I'm having trouble finding the airport because my instruments are not working like they're supposed to. I'm asking the Lord to help me find Northwest. And so when I finally see it, I said, oh, praise God, there it is, Lord. I know it. I fly right over it. I said, I got it now, Lord. I can see the ground. Thank you. Everything's okay. And so we made a turn and come back around, lined up on a runway, come over the end of the fence about 80 miles an hour, and I hit the ground with that big twin-engine airplane, and just as we hit the ground, the airplane turned like this. When it Cheryl just, you know, when she did that, I said, Lord, I don't have it. I need some help. And it just straightened right back up. And we were rolling out, taxied out, and I said, Lord, forgive me for thinking I ever have it. I need help all the time. Do we not? So he's there to help us, but we have to ask in faith, right? Yeah. When we ask in faith, he's there to help us. Now then, if we've been given that kind of dominion and authority, we should never lose a loved one to sickness or disease if we realize the dominion and power and authority we have. Now, sometimes it's difficult to convince your loved one that you have this kind of power. You know, even people in church that have been in church all their life, they kind of think something's wrong with you if you're commanding sickness to leave. You know that? But when we read that John 14, 12 a while ago, Jesus told us we could do anything he did. Is that right? Did Jesus command sickness to leave? Did he leave? Yeah. So, I mean, did Jesus control the storms? Did they obey him? You know, if he controlled the waves and everything else. And then he turned to us and says, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Well, I think we ought to start getting some, don't you? So we're driving down the road and something happens and a car starts to slide into us or whatever. Don't use the name of the Lord in vain like some people will. You know, say, Jesus, help me. And when you do, he will come in and help you straighten up your car or save your life or whatever. I mean, but you have to call on him. Now, if we don't call on him, what are we going to get? Nothing. That's absolutely right. Nothing. But if we call on him out of a pure heart, what are we going to get? Whatever we ask him for. Isn't that true? My son and I, when he got graduated from high school, we went down here in the pasture, and we had a great big 1,500-pound Brangus bull that broke the fence down to get in with my cows, and I wanted to get him out. And so we went down there to get him out, and we could not get him out of that herd of cows. It didn't matter what we did, he did not want to leave. And so I finally run into him with a pickup. You know, I literally ran into him with the left front fender of the pickup right on his shoulder trying to get him to go, but he just went right on around me and right back in that herd of cows. So Tim, after I did that, Tim said, Dad, we're going to have to go get a couple of horses and a couple more men. He said, we're never going to get that big monster out of here, just us. I said, son, we got help that you don't know about. He said, what do you mean? I said, watch this. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, send me an angel. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, angel, I want you to go over there, and I want you to grab that bull by the nape of the neck. I want you to pick him up and lead him out of that herd of cows right to that fence, turn him down that fence, lead him right down yonder about a quarter mile to the end of that fence. There's a gate open down there in the corner. Put him back in the pasture, and then I'll go down there and close the gate. I said, thank you, Father. I said, thank you, angel. I said, son, let's get him. He said, do what, Dad? I said, come on, just come on. So we started walking toward the herd of cows, and just as we got right at the edge of them, that bull, his head, he was standing right in the middle. His head come up. He walked out of that herd of cows. He walked straight to that fence. He's walking down that. He's not even looking back at those girls. He's walking down the fence, and all of a sudden Tim says, Dad, this is another one of your wild stories that if I hadn't been here to see this, I would never have believed this. You know, that's what's wrong with us. We don't walk in the spirit world where we're supposed to walk. We're supposed to realize that we have been given dominion and authority over everything on the earth. Is that right, Tony? If Jesus, I don't know about everybody else, Tony, but you and me, if Jesus told me and you that, we ought to believe him, don't you think? What do you think, Mary? if Jesus, I mean, this is not some crazy stuff I'm telling you all day. This is in the book, isn't it? If it's in God's word, shouldn't we obey him? I mean, we should start doing something in faith. When you do something in faith, who's going to show up? The Lord, guarantee he's going to show up to help you. It's when we don't do something in faith that he's not going to show up. He is a faith God, and he loves it when we fight this battle by faith. When we quote his word and command these spirits to leave, and I don't care what it is, whether they're hindering us from getting a job or hindering us from, they're making us sick or afflicting us, or they're creating a problem with our marriage, and they create so many problems between married people, and married people don't even realize what's going on. You know, your wife gets all upset at you, well, you just tear right back into her, you know. No. If your wife gets all upset at you, if she yields to the enemy, what should you do? Go over and grab her, hold her tight, kiss her a few times, and just tell her how much you love her, you know. And in a minute, she'll quit struggling, you know, and she'll love you, you know. I mean, just like y'all all know the story about how that when Cheryl couldn't sing that time, when she walked into my office and said, honey, she could barely talk. She said, honey, I gotta sing to 1,200 people tonight. And she said, I have laryngitis or something. I can just barely talk. I said, it's just a demon. And I just stood up and grabbed her by the neck and started shaking her and said, come out of her in the name of Jesus, you devil of hell. As soon as I did, I turned her loose and I said, now sing to me. And she just hit the high note. She went that night. Is that true, honey? Yeah, just stand up a minute. I'm going to show everybody the way I did you. I mean, she come in. I stood up. When I stood up, she said, honey, you got to pray for me. I said, it's just a demon. I just reached up and grabbed it around the throat like this and went, yur, yur, yur. I said, come out of her, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. I said, now then sing to me. I mean, how much power and authority do we have? So why don't we exercise that power and authority? Do something in faith. I mean, I realize if y'all had walked in when I was doing that, somebody probably said, shoot him, he's killing his wife. Y'all would have had no idea that I was fighting a spiritual battle for my wife right there. But she understood that, you know, and every once in a while now, when she finds out she prays for me and something, she don't get her answer, guess what she does to me? She gets rough with me. Grabs me or swats me on the backside or hits me on the leg, you know, say, come out of here, you devil of hell. That's just like last night when she came to bed, whatever. I forget, while she was still up, she asked me to pray for something. I forget, her knee or whatever. And I prayed and the pain went away immediately. She just loved it. And then she had a little back problem or something. So she came to bed and I had been asleep for an hour or two. And she finally woke me up and said, honey, you got to pray for me again on my back. She said, it didn't go away. I said, okay. So I reached over and swatted her right quick and prayed the prayer of faith for her. I said, now, woman, go to sleep. You're going to be good. And I guess she did. The pain went away, you know. So if you don't get your answer the first time, you don't give up, because you got to realize you have dominion and authority over these spirit beings. And that's what these things are. They're spirit beings, and you don't have to create, you don't have to do much of a sin to open a door to let one of them in. It's so easy to let them in. But you got to remember, once you repent of sin, then you have all power over him to kick him out. And if you can't do it by yourself, go get you somebody that can help you. You know, find you a spiritual authority. If you're a woman, go find you another woman. You know, if you're a man, you know, find you a man. You know, and if you're a woman and you can't find nobody, then come to your church. Hopefully you've got a pastor that knows how to do this stuff. And if you do, then you can kick these things out, you know, and get healed. That's why when Dee Dee walked in back there a while ago, although we prayed for her Thursday, man, I grabbed her by the head, hair of the head, commanded these devils to dissolve and come out of her head in the name of Jesus. Now, that didn't hurt a thing, did it? No, it don't hurt a thing. How much dominion and authority, one more time, do we have? So if we learn, we have all dominion and all authority over the spirit world, and they have to be subject to us, don't you think we need to do something in faith to get people set free? Yes, absolutely right. We need to. And I'm believing with you, Dee Dee, you're healed, don't you, girl? Amen. Praise the Lord. Her and her mom back there, both of them believe that. Praise the Lord. But we've seen so many people healed. And what something that Judy, the mother, said broke my heart. She don't even know this, but this broke my heart. When she said, when Judy got this bad report, there was only one place we knew of we could go. I thought, how sad that is. Only one. She said, we can come out here and believe we're going to get healed. That should never be among the Christian church, should it? We should have churches with pastors everywhere that we could go to get healed, right? That just broke my heart when she said, this is the only place we know of we could bring her that the people will pray in faith. Wow. When we get to where we can pray in faith, Scott, we see God do some wonderful things, don't we? I don't understand why everybody don't believe these promises. Do you? I just don't understand it. Wow. Well, Father, I praise you and thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessings of life. I thank you for the power that you've given us. I thank you that you have defeated the kingdom of darkness, and we're fixing to go into the Passover season. I don't even want to call it Easter. It's Passover and the Feast of First Fruits. This next week is the beginning of Passover. And Lord, on Passover, when you died on that cross, you said, it is finished. Right there is when you give us all dominion and all authority and all power over the spirits, over the world, and everything we lost in the garden, you give it back to us. It belongs to us. Help us to understand that now, Lord. And help us to realize now that we have to walk in faith. You've given us dominion and authority, but we have to go and subdue the enemy and take it by force. Wow. Teach us how to be forceful in the kingdom of God, Lord. Teach us how to get people saved, healed, and delivered. Just like that drunk man up there in Kansas City. Lord, thank you for saving that man that night. Lord, thank you for giving me the boldness to do that. Lord, I know that everything we do comes from you, and we get our boldness from you. And I know you're the one that delivered that man. You sobered him up. You saved him. You did everything that night. And then those other two men, you brought them to church the next two nights. And I praise you and thank you for being a God that honors faith and steps in and does what you said you'll do. Because, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. But with you, there's nothing impossible. So, Lord, as we go this week, use us for your glory. Put us in the right place with the right people that we'll be able to minister to people, that we'll be able to get people delivered and saved and healed and everything. We want to see people come into the kingdom of God. Now, Lord, we ask you to be with the men and women in Washington. We ask you to guide them, direct them, bless them, give them knowledge and wisdom and understanding that they need to be able to rule this country. Lord, I know you're getting ready to judge this country, but Lord, I ask you to be, help us. Lord, be merciful to us. Oh, Lord. And at least open the eyes of the church, Lord, so that we'll know who we are, so that if you return to catch away the church at any time, we'll be ready. We'll be prepared to go when that time comes, Lord. I'd hate to think that I was having a fight with somebody or fussing and squabbling with my wife whenever you come to get us. Oh, Lord, Lord, may that never be. May that never be. May it never be for any Christian, but every Christian is walking in obedience to your word, purifying themselves from evil and walking holy and witnessing and ministering to people when you come again. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.